What's up, everybody? It's your boy Jamal Bolton. It's the day after the Super Bowl. You know, I'm here to talk about the game, talk about the big upset. Well, not really the upset, but, you know, talk about that, a few more things. We got Hall of Fame announcements. We got some NBA news. Let's get right into it, man. So, Super Bowl recap. I'm sure everybody watched the game. I'm sure everybody has their opinion on what happened. For me, I mean, it was huge, man. Like, let me just say, you know, congrats to the Eagles for winning the championship. It's well-deserved. I mean, they definitely deserved it. I mean, it's a feel-good story. Your franchise quarterback goes down and your backup comes in. He steps in and he plays a hell of a – I mean, he ran the table last couple of weeks for them. I mean, Nick Foles had a postseason to remember. He came in, stepped up, let his team down a stretch. It kind of reminds me of Jeff Hostetler, what he did with the Giants in 90 when they beat the Bills. You know, the Bills are heavily favored that game. You know, Phil Simms went down early in the year. Hostetler came in. He stepped up and kind of led the team. The team rallied around him, and he kind of came in and he did what he had to do. He wasn't as spectacular as Nick Foles, but – you know, Foles coming in and doing that reminds me of Hostetler. So, but, you know, Nick Foles, man, I always say, and I was joking around with somebody at the gym the other day, I was like, man, he earned himself about 40, 50 million. You know what I mean? With his last couple weeks performing, he's in the contract for another year. So we don't know what's going to happen. They kind of have a quote unquote QB controversy now, I want to say, but not really controversy because we know when Carson Wentz comes back, he's going to be the starter and so forth. But it just so happened, Nick Foles got hot. He held his composure. He didn't buckle down the stretch. He showed he could make a big play when it mattered. I mean, for the postseason, he was 28 for 40. You know, he was 28 for 43, 373 yards. He threw 53 touchdowns, had a receiving touchdown, and he won a Super Bowl MVP. I mean, how remarkable is that? You're a guy that was sitting on the bench. You know, you kind of had a rough year the year before, and you get to Philly looking for a fresh start. You're riding the pine, obviously. The quarterback goes down, and this is kind of what they say in sports, man. Next man up. You know, when your number's called, you have to be ready. That's what they say, be prepared at all times. Kind of like a mantra through life in general, like just be prepared. You know, don't sit there and say you want something, you pray for something, and then when something comes out, you know, you may pray for that job, you may pray for that girl, that girlfriend or that boyfriend, and then when you get that job, you're not prepared for it or whatever. You get that girl, you don't know how to maintain. You get that boyfriend, you know, for the ladies, you just don't know what to do when you get that person. And so, you know, you got to be prepared for these things, man. And, you know, Nick Foles is ready, man. He, like I said, for the postseason, he had 971 yards, 6 touchdowns. He had a reception touchdown. And he completed almost 73% of his passes. I mean, it was amazing. Hearing today on First Take, you know, they were talking about, you know, maybe the Eagles could demand a first-round pick for him because of how hot he was. You know, something's going to have to be done, you know, as far as him and what he's going to do going forward next year. Because, I mean, look what he's done. Look at where he's at right now. He's at a point in time now where, hey, he could go ahead and he could demand some money. He could get out there. And he's going to be hot on the market. Some teams are going to need a quarterback. I don't know who off the top of my head because, you know, there's still a lot of shuffling going on in the NFL. But, I mean, this guy right here can come in and help the franchise. That's just my humble opinion. And I'm sure, anybody out there with a football team and you're thinking, like, what he could do. I mean, hell, he might be good in Arizona with the Arizona Cardinals. They need a quarterback. You know, they got a pretty good team. You know, Carson Palmer's retired. But who knows what the quarterback situation is there. They need a decent starter that can come in, start, make some stuff happen. So, got to wait and see how that works out, man. But, you know, it's big for them, man. It's big for the city. You know, the Patriots, everybody wanted to, you know, for me, it's like, I like living in a time where we can sit there and watch history be made, which is why I like Alabama winning so much every year. You know, people, they hated to see the same people winning every year. You know, growing up, you keep hearing about Bear Bryant and these records he has. I want to say, hey, I was there when I lived through the Bear Bryant of my era, Nick Saban. I want to be able to tell my grandkids, like, yeah, he was a bad boy, man. He won all his games and he was this, he was that. You know, I want to be able to tell my grandkids that, like, the older folks are able to tell us about Bear Bryant and so forth. And, you know, I want to be able to sit there and say, hey, I saw a quarterback win 6 rings. But it didn't happen that way. I mean, Brady, for what it's worth, I mean, he'll be back. And it's amazing that a guy that's his age is still kicking strong, kicking and going strong. So it's really one of those things in which you can't do nothing but applaud his effort. But, man, just a huge congrats to the Philadelphia Eagles. They look great, phenomenal. I mean, a great team effort, man. It was well-deserved. They came in with a swagger. They knew that they could compete with them. And they played, man. They made the plays when they counted, man. That's what matters, and that's what it comes down to. But shout out to the Eagles. They did the damn thing. City of brotherly love. Philly was on fire last night, literally. But, I mean, hey, I didn't hear anything crazy happening this morning on the news as far as anybody getting really, really hurt. But those fans are crazy and passionate, man. But, hell, they deserve a championship, man. It's been so many years, and, you know, Philadelphia finally has a Super Bowl champion. Moving on, let's move on a little bit more with the Super Bowl recap. Let's talk about the Patriots. You know, I, for one, thought they were going to come out guns blazing And I thought Brady was, honestly, I thought Brady was going to have a field day with the Eagles defense. Not in a sense where the Eagles defense wasn't good. I mean, let's put it to you like this. Last night, the Eagles gave up 33 points. And the Patriots, they gave up 41. But I thought Brady was going to have his way with them. That defense, man, you know, they kind of stepped up when they needed to step up. They made that big play. And with the strip sack, you know, fumble. They got that. They got the Brady. They were able to get to him. But the Patriots didn't execute when they were supposed to. I think, you know, there's a few plays you could point to. One of them being Tom Brady's drop pass. It's like you were wide open. You dropped the pass. There was a little thing that you can look back and they're probably going to look at on film when they do review the game and say, damn, I could have, you know, he's going to probably say, damn, I could have caught that pass. I should have done this. I should have done that. I mean, it's just one of those things, you know, like, so I'm looking at it from that standpoint, like the little things that added up that they could have executed down the stretch, obviously, you know. You know, Gronk came to play. Of course, Brady came to play. Again, on defense, we didn't really, you know, the defense made some plays, but, you know, it's always that, it's the big question now. It's like kind of, what if Malcolm Butler was playing? Well, Malcolm Butler had made a difference. You know, you kind of see and you're looking at some of the reports, like, you know, I'm just reading, you know, and he played almost every snap this season on defense. But, you know, Belichick has his rules, and, you know, he's going to obey him. He's not going to bend his rules for anyone. But they didn't look very Patriot-like. They looked, you know, they looked dominant in weeks prior, but last night they just didn't really seem to really have it on them. Like, it seemed like Nick Foles picked the defense apart. He's one of those guys, like, again, he wasn't sitting there going crazy. He wasn't killing everybody. And with these long passes, he's what you call, like, what they like to call Alex Smith, a game manager. And, again, the plays that he made the right plays at the right time. He's kind of got through to the defense. And look, Philly's receivers were ready, man. You know, Philly had a good running game. You know, LeGarrette Blount almost had 100 yards. He had about 6 yards of carry last night. I mean, you know, he played a huge part in it. JJ, you know, he had 50-some-odd yards last night. So, they played big. They were able to get through the heart of the Patriots defense, man. And, you know, it's kind of what happened, you know. But Belichick's defense, man, they didn't look real Belichick-like. And anybody who knows football knows a Belichick defense. They've always, you know, Belichick's been known for defense. That's a specialty. I mean, hello, he coached the Giants. Those first two Super Bowl championships, you know what I mean? Like, those are the guys that gravitated towards him. And so, when you look at it, it's just one of those things, man, where it was an off night, you know? They're 5-3 in Super Bowls. I mean, scary part is, you know, the Giants had their number. Had they not played the Giants in those previous Super Bowls, hell, Brady might have been sitting there going for his eighth last night. I'm sorry, I'm a what-if guy, so I always do the kind of what-if and what would have happened. But I saw reports today, oh, he didn't win last night, so he's not the GOAT. I saw more Joe Montana talk come out like, oh, Joe would have never lost. Like, let me just say this, man. You know, Brady can't win them all. I mean, he set a Super Bowl record again last night for most passing yards. I mean, he played his ass off. The defense couldn't get a big stop to get him back on the field to let him orchestrate and do what he does. You mean to tell me if he had a minute and some chance to get back down the field, maybe 2 minutes to get back down the field to try to score, it wouldn't have happened? I mean, the dude threw a Hail Mary at the very end, and it was still like, sheesh. I mean, everybody in America was probably looking at their TV like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Like, Patriot fans and Eagles fans alike were just like, oh, my God, oh, my God. Like, it's just crazy because he's such a dangerous person. He's such a dangerous dude out there in the field, and he's one of those guys, like, you know, I always say, it's never over till it's over. And as we know, like, last year, you know, when he was down 28-3, and he came back and he won, so It's just kind of one of those things, man. You got to put it out there. You know, you got to, you know, he's as great as he can be. He can do but so much. I mean, he did his part. Everybody else kind of just didn't really step up. But, you know, as much as he did his part, you know, that missed pass, that missed reception and things like that could have, you know, it's small things. But, you know, a missed field goal they had earlier. So it's a bunch of different things. They just didn't play like the Patriots normally play, like we're used to the Patriots playing. But we kind of have to see and kind of have to wait now, you know. So I'll say they'll be back. They favored to win in Vegas again. Gotta wait and see, and then we'll go from there. So still the Patriots. Crazy. They have a 41-year-old quarterback and still favored to win the Super Bowl. But it's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes, man. But nothing for them to hang their head around, hang their heads down about. I mean, they're still like the team in the NFL to beat. I mean, quarterback's 41 years old, still out there giving people fits, but looking forward to what they bring to the table next year, man. But I know that the Tom Brady era's got to come to a close at some point in time. But the way he's looking, it don't look like it's happening anytime soon. I'll be right back with you guys. Let's stick with the Patriots for a little bit longer. I'm sure everybody kind of watched the press conferences, and you saw a few things, and you saw a few reports come out, and one of the reports was about Malcolm Butler. You know, he didn't play, like I mentioned a little earlier. There's been a huge uproar about what happened, but, you know, for me, I know he's a valuable, you know, everybody who knows the story, you know, he was working in fast food, and he was working in a fast food restaurant, I think it was Popeye's, and kind of, you know, it's a feel-good story. You know, he catches the interception against the Seahawks, and he, you know, makes the game-saving play. He gets there. He's a hero now. Gets a nice contract. So it's a feel-good story. And it's like, played 98% of the defensive plays this season. And it's like, he worked his ass off. But it's like, apparently not a report. He missed curfew. Had a crappy week of practice. And then I saw a report from Barstool. He was caught with marijuana. Now, I'm not here to judge a man about what he does off the field, because I don't really care. It's not my thing. But it's like, come on, before the Super Bowl, man, you got to be easy. It's like only the biggest game. It's only the biggest game of the year. Got to be smarter about it. You kind of have to watch what you do. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I get it. Everybody has their thing. They have their vices. And, you know, again, look, marijuana ain't crack. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, dude, you can't expect somebody like Belichick to feel bad for you, because he's not going to feel bad for you. He has his rules. And like they said earlier, if he lets you get away with it, it makes you think everybody else is not going to look at him like, oh, well, I can get away with it too. So Belichick kind of has to restore some order and keep some order with the team. And he just kind of happened to be the odd man out, you know. And that's unfortunate for him, you know, that he had to sit there and learn his lesson during the Super Bowl. I can see the emotion in him, man. He was hurt by it. But again, rules are rules, you know. Nobody's above the rules. If you figure Tom Brady can play by the rules, so can you. If Gronk can play by the rules, so can you. And speaking of Gronk, it's a pretty good segue to going to Gronk. Him reports last night, you know, he was confiding in somebody. He was a little shocked that the report got out, but it was sitting there saying like, hey, you know, he's thinking about retirement. You know, and people say, oh, he's young, he's not even 30 yet, you know, he's still balling, one of the best tight ends ever played in the league. But it's a situation now when you're looking at him, it's like, with Gronk, he's been beat up a lot. You know, Gronk's been beat up really, really bad. And it's like, you know, he doesn't know. He doesn't know if he wants to do it. I mean, you look at it, he suffered some injuries, elbow, his back, forearm. Then he got a concussion the other day. Last week, I should say, he was in a concussion protocol. They released him. And, you know, he got out. But it's like, your body takes a toll on you. You know, for the media image that he puts out, he's a pretty smart guy. He doesn't spend his NFL money. He only spends his endorsement money, which is a crap load of money anyway. And so you don't have to go crazy and live above your means. So think about all the money he's made in the NFL, which is a lot. And he's banked it all. But for me, I'm looking at it from a standpoint of it going like, hey, you know, here's Gronk. He's going to be a tight end. He's a Hall of Famer. He's got the numbers already for it. It's like, what else does he have to prove? You know, he's missing equivalent to 2 years worth of games due to injuries. And that's a lot for a guy's age, you know, like surgery on his back and things like that. And he's still going. But, I mean, we see it, but we don't really have to deal with the repercussions of what they deal with. I mean, getting hit every day is like a mini car wreck every time you get tackled. That takes a toll on your body. So it's been a thought process, and I don't know if he's seriously considering it, but I mean, if he leaves and he retires, it's going to be like a gaping hole with their team, you know? So Patriots have to figure that out, and something he'd have to really consider. You know, a guy's got a couple Super Bowl rings. It's kind of like, what else are you playing for? You can manage your money. I mean, he's got the kind of personality where he's going to always be around. As much as a dumb jock image that he plays up, he's still, you know, he's like a pretty smart guy, pretty cool, fun guy to be around, and I'm sure that personality will carry him through life. But it's been talk, man. Even the biggest party is, you know, even the guys like Gronk that joke around a lot, they just get tired of getting beat up every week. I mean, Tom Brady's been fortunate enough where he hasn't really gotten beat up too bad, so he can still do this at 40, 41. But the way Gronk's looking, it doesn't look like it's too promising. But, man, we'll see, man. Wish him the best. Hopefully he's back soon, and, you know, he's back next year, I should say, and he's healthy and ready to give it another go. The Patriots are definitely a different team without him, and you know, I don't want to see them try to make a run without Gronk. But, you know, knowing Belichick, they got somebody in the wings waiting, man. But we shall see. So take the short commercial break. We'll be back with you guys with more news. Today's show is sponsored by Troy Manson Signature Socks, with a slogan to stand out from the socks up. Come visit their website at www.tmsocks.com and check out all their classic and sleek styles, as well as the Josh Malone and Joe Lockett Signature Series. You can also get ahead of everyone and get your socks for the spring, as the new 2018 spring collection is available for pre-order. They've been featured in the GQ British magazine, as well as the Huffington Post. So you know I couldn't pass on getting myself a pair. Troy Manson Signature Socks, the official sock of the Jamal Bolton Show. Well, as we all know, during Super Bowl weekend, we have one of the biggest honors bestowed among some of the legends of the game. And that's the guys that are enshrined into Canton, Ohio. You know, guys who have been selected for the Hall of Fame. This weekend, we had Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, Brian Dawkins, Ray Lewis, Brian Urlacher, Jerry Kramer, Robert Brazil, and Bobby Pathard at the Shrine this weekend. So, pretty big weekend. You know, I saw the guys get selected. I saw Randy Moss kind of just overwhelmed with emotion. Brian Dawkins, well-deserved. Ray Lewis, well-deserved. Urlacher, well-deserved. I mean, everybody well-deserved. You know, these are guys, you know, from, you know, Moss, Owens, Dawkins, Lewis, and Urlacher. Those are guys that I saw with my own eyes. Let me just say this. Let me give you what I have from all the modern-day players that made it. Moss, the most physically gifted wide receiver I've ever seen in my life. Taking nothing away from Jerry Rice, who's the greatest. But physically gifted for a guy that can do whatever he wanted to do. Randy Moss. I'll never forget. I'll sidestep on the story real quick. D'Angelo Hall was telling the class of rookies coming in, like, if you're playing DB, you're prepared for Moss. He said, Randy, I'm good. I know I'm good. He said, but Moss came off a route, and I was with him, and Moss put his hand up and kind of waved for the ball. He said, I looked to see what he was doing. He said, I looked up. Moss was a couple steps ahead of me. Like, he's just that fast. Like, Randy Moss has game-breaking speed, and it's so amazing to think people assume that he didn't play hard. It's like, dude, you can't play in the NFL and get 15,000 plus yards, 100 over 150 touchdowns, and be that great. Like, people just kind of think he got on the field and he kind of just came out nasty, came out the womb running a 4.2, 4.3. He was 6'5", and he was just going to give everything he had, and it was that easy. That dude busts his ass when he busts his tail, and I'm glad he got rewarded for it in the media. Didn't kind of sit there and let some of the immature antics that he had back in the day get caught up in that, you know. But like I said, the most physically gifted wide receiver I've ever seen in my own life. And there's been some great wide receivers, but he's like, to do what he did, amazing. You got T.O. A lot of people like to give T.O. grief, and he didn't make it the first time around because, you know, people kind of had problems with him personally. I, for one, think he should have been the first ballot Hall of Famer. Doesn't get better than that. I mean, the guy was amazing. He played hard. I mean, hell, he came back and played the Super Bowl with a rod in his leg. Just amazing. It's going to be interesting to see where he goes in the Hall of Fame at. You know, he doesn't want to go in as a Niner, allegedly. Can't go in as an Eagles. He's going to go in as a Cowboy. So we don't really know what's going to happen. But, hey, he's in. He made it. A guy that worked his tail off, stayed in shape, always was ready. And, I mean, honestly speaking, I mean, he looked good. Even though when he had those workouts and the NFL team showed up, I mean, he still looked like he was in shape. I mean, he's still in shape, you know. But great, great, great player. Brian Dawkins, heart and soul of Eagles defense, you know, all-decade team. Guy gave it his all. You know, just amazing, 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 amazing. You got Urlacher, heart and soul, the Bears defense, led him to their only Super Bowl appearance since the 85 Bears. You know, he played his heart out for the city and for the franchise. He walked away when he could walk away, but, I mean, you can only do but so much, you know, but he laid it all out there on the line. Definitely well-deserving. A guy who played at New Mexico, switched positions, I believe, in college, if I'm not mistaken. He was an offensive player, ended up going to defense, and ended up in Canton. Then you got the guy, Ray Lewis, who many consider one of the top, you know, three or four linebackers of all time. You know, you got LT, Dick Buckus, and many people throw Ray Lewis in there. It's depending on who who you talk to or whatever. But no matter what you may think about the man personally, about his views about certain things on the field, I mean, hell, you listen to a Ray Lewis speech, you ready to run through a wall for him. The guy's just a natural born leader. He put the best out of everybody. I mean, he rallied the troops around him. The dude's been doing it. He's did it his whole career. I mean, he's definitely Ray Lewis is like the only one I assumed out of this group that he was definitely going to get selected. It's Ray Lewis, for God's sakes. You know, laid it out in line, was just a headhunt on the field, played his tail off. He's an icon in the city of Baltimore. Well-deserved. He's enshrined forever, and it's well-deserved. A guy that wasn't the biggest guy ever, but, I mean, he played the hell out of that position, man. So when you think of linebackers, you know, there's a few guys that are synonymous with the name. You know, you got LT, of course. You know, Ray Lewis is another one. Dick Buckus is another one. So he had that big of an impact on the game and his position. So I always say, you know, with Ray, you know, give props where props are deserved, man. All these guys need to get a hand for making it to the Hall of Fame. You know, I love all their games. They're well-deserved, and I'm looking forward to someone when they actually get enshrined. Before moving from the NFL, I want to kind of give a shout-out to Ryan Shazier, Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker. It's just like a feel-good story for the day, man. He went down in December while he's playing the game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Kind of just looked at the hit. He kind of went in with his head the way he got hit. You could just look like something looked a little wrong. It looked like he was paralyzed from the waist down, man. But, you know, God's good, man, and things have been happening. And looks like, you know, he's starting to move. He's starting to have movement in his leg. Not walking on his own, but signs that he's making progress and he's making things happen again. You know, he probably won't ever play football again, and that's fine. If that's the substitute that you got to make in order to, you know, to kind of walk again, then I'm all for it. But I've seen some reports that he's making a lot of progress, man. You know, it didn't look good initially, but it's turning around for the better. And so, you know, he got movement, and whenever he needs to move around, you know, he got some people that'll help him out or whatnot. but he's making progress, man. It's definitely good. He's a young dude. He's a young guy from Ohio State, but in his fourth year in the NFL. And you never want to see somebody go down like that. You know, at this point, it's not about football. It's about the guy's safety. So for me, I want to send a special shout out to him and his family. I'm glad he's getting better, man. It seems like God is making everything work out in his favor just because, you know, things like that, you don't ever know with the NFL. It's kind of tricky. And so, you know, shout out to him again, man. Hopefully get to see him out in the field, not playing, but in some capacity, whether it's coming back to a game and kind of letting everybody see him walk again. You know, hopefully it can be something where he's motivated. You know, remember Adam Talaferro played at Penn State. He got injured. Didn't think he'd be walking again, but he's back up. He's walking again, led a very successful life. And, he's a lawyer now, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, sometimes football isn't in the cards for everybody, but then your path is redirected at certain times, and it worked out for him. So, but, yeah, shout out to him, man, and much love. And, you know, hope he keeps getting better with this with his rehab, and he's back to normal sooner than later. Well, let's move on to a little bit of NBA news. We got some NBA, you know, the NBA trade deadlines this Thursday. There's been a few names floating around out there as far as what deals are going to get made and what, you know, seeing how teams need to kind of revamp. Looking at the Clippers, you know, we start with DeAndre Jordan. Apparently, the Cavs made an offer today. It was kind of like just a light offer just to kind of get some feelers out there. Apparently, they would send Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, and their first-round pick over to L.A. in exchange for DeAndre Jordan, which would be a good pickup, I think. I think DeAndre with LeBron and those guys, I think it's a huge upgrade from what they got. You know, they weren't getting much out of Tristan Thompson anyway. I mean, I think he's a high energy guy, but if for some reason he hasn't had it lately. You know, he's got that big contract and he played well and helped them win that championship, man. But there's something about him where he just really hasn't been coming through in the clutch for those guys. So, we don't know. You know, another guy from the Clippers I'm hearing about is Lou Williams. He's been linked to, Celtic trade rumors. So, I mean, it's kind of scary to think if the Celtics had that kind of firepower coming off the bench. I mean, it would be really, really scary. I'm sure they'd probably give us somebody like a Marcus Smart, maybe one of their draft picks. But, you know, Marcus Smart's a huge defender. He's kind of one of the leaders on defense. And it would be a huge loss. But I think somebody picking up somebody like Lou Williams, man, whew, incredible. You know, but shows the Clippers in rebuild mode. And you know, you don't know what to expect from them. So, they, you know, it's kind of like they say no, but then it's like you're kind of seeing what they're doing now. They got rid of Blake. It's just kind of – maybe it's time for them to kind of just blow everything up and rebuild from the ground up and go from there. George Hill from the Sacramento Kings has been linked to the Cavs as a possible – you know, the Cavs have been listed as a possible destination. He helps them out a lot. The Lakers youngsters, Jordan Clarkson, Julius Randle, and Larry Nance, they've all been named a possible trade scenario. So we don't really know what's going to happen, who would take whom on. You know, the Lakers are kind of willing and dealing for the offseason because I'm sure – they're going to go hard after Paul George, and I wouldn't be surprised if they go after Boogie Cousins, even with the Achilles injury and him rehabbing. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. And, you know, this just in, I've seen the Warriors, they're looking at bolstering their bench up, and they've inquired about Avery Bradley, who the Clippers just got. You know, Avery Bradley's a free agent after the season, so it'll kind of be a season rental. But I'm curious to see as to what would happen. You know what I mean? So it's a little interesting to see how it works out, you know, but – we got to go from there, man. And if they can get somebody like Avery Bradley, a decent defender, can give you about 13, 14 a game too, man. The rich get richer, man. But, hey, that's what they got these brand GMs in place for, man. They'll make it work. Somebody may go. But, I mean, hell, to hell with it. It works out. It works out however you want it to work out. And I think somebody like Avery Bradley coming onto the Warriors bench, it helps them. I think all these guys can help these teams, you know, bolster up. I think DeAndre Jordan, though, they deal with the Cavs. That needs to happen ASAP because they need help. So we'll go from there with that. But let's speak about the Cavs, man. Let's slide over to a little, you know, let's slide over to talk about them for a minute. Last Saturday, they got annihilated by the Rockets, 120-88. You know, if you look at the highlights, CP3 was playing with the guards. You know, team's not gelling. Everybody thought that Kyrie for Isaiah trade was going to be great. Seems like Boston won that part of the deal. And Isaiah wants a huge deal. I mean, he's not helping his case this season. And I mean, the guy can play. It's probably just not the right fit. You know, sometimes you just can't put pieces together and expect it to work. I mean, they lost 12 of the last 18. Ty Lue's job is safe, according to reports, but it's just like, what else do you need to do? You don't really want to revamp the team, get a new coach, and so I understand why his job is safe, but it's like, what do you want him to do? You got LeBron on here talking about them, saying, hey, like, we need to get all our games removed off of national TV. It's just a mess out there right now. You know, it's not really looking good at all. It's just one of those things, man. It's just a little weird, man. So they need help. They're not a lock to win the East this year. They need to make a move. They need to not sit there and sit on their hands. And like they've done the last couple of trade deadlines, I think they really need to get out there, try to get someone, see who they can get. I think DeAndre Jordan will help bolster a lot of things for them. it'll help them, you know, it'll help them out keeping LeBron, because, you know, we don't know what's happening with that either. So they really want to come out the East and want to win the East. I think they need to do something. They need to do something because, I mean, these teams right behind them. Boston's ready to play them neck and neck. Toronto can hang with them. You know, it's teams out there that's ready to compete and play every night. You know, LeBron's still LeBron, but Cavs aren't invincible anymore. So have to wait and see, man. You know, it's a wait and see approach with everything right now as far as they go, as far as everything else goes. But got to wait and see, like I said, man. But NBA's been kind of dry right now. You know, there's no real, you know, no real big news per se. You know, only big news tonight otherwise, Dirk Nowitzki reached the 50,000 minute mark, which lets you know he's played a lot. And the Cavs have also talked about a Kemba Walker deal. You know, they vaguely spoken with the Hornets about a deal involving Kemba, Isaiah, the Nets first round pick. So it's a lot of wheeling and dealing going on with them, and a lot of wheeling and dealing going around. As Jordan said, he's not just going to trade Kemba for anybody, but we'll have to wait and see, man. So that's it for my NBA wrap up right now, man. We get back with a show recap. Before I end today's show, man, I want to give a big, big shout out to the hometown college, St. John's University. You know, they upset my Duke Blue Devils this weekend, man. It was a huge game at the Garden. I mean, anybody who knows basketball, they know, you know, college basketball, you know, the Garden's the Mecca. You know, St. John's, you know, they can fill up the Garden no matter what their record is. But, you know, it's Duke's been looking bad. You know, St. John's, they kind of came in. They were winless. They were winless in the Big East, but they found a way to beat one of the top teams in the nation. Duke's 19-4 this year, 3 losses in the ACC. But St. John's, a sophomore, Shamari Pons, man, 33 points, man. A kid from Brooklyn, Thomas Jefferson High. He's the real deal, man. Kid's a pro. He played like it. He's out here balling, man, you know. So St. John's had one since Christmas, man, but they found a way to get out here and get after Duke, man. They got up for the game. So I think this is the signature win Chris Mullin needed. Maybe this can be the springboard for these guys the rest of the season. They can kind of get to some respectability and they can kind of hold on and maybe make it competitive the rest of the year. They're looking kind of bad now, but they look real great, man. But you know, that's just another thing. I wanted to shout them out because they've been having such a hard time this year, man. They need to get some recognition, man. But as far as everything else, man, thank you guys for tuning in, man. I appreciate it, man. Super Bowl was wonderful. Now we got to look forward to March Madness coming up soon. And then after that, we'll probably be rolling into the NBA playoffs. So who knows how that's going to work out. But thank you guys for tuning in. Like I say every week, head over to iTunes, go to podcast, click on the Jamal and Bolton Show, hit subscribe if you can. I definitely appreciate that. I'll be back in a few more days with a new show. Hopefully we get some great new topics coming up here. All-Star Weekend will be coming up. Got some other things popping up. You know, it's always something with sports, man. But again, thank you guys. Thank you for everything. Thanks for tuning in. And I'll be back with you guys in a couple days. Peace.